Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like
we have to be more Mexican than the Mexicans and more American than the Americans, both at the same time. It's exhausting. Hello, hello.
Buenas tardes.
What it do?
Nothing, just here eating some food.
Stretching.
Yes.
Stretching is very important.
Stretching and eating. It's good for the heart.
Now today you brought me another treat from your mother's home.
Así es.
We have un burrito con frijoles y carnitas.
Yes, well,
con chile colorado.
Okay, you explain burritos like you explain art. Let me okay. Walk you through it.
Excuse me.
So this is a burrito that my mother made. The tortillas came from Juarez. Those are harina tortillas or flour tortillas, because this is what we eat in the north. Mostly, I mean, we eat both, but we love our tortillas de harina. Mm-hmm. And my uncle came and visited from Juarez, and my aunt, my mom is like, oh, you're here on vacation. Make us all carnitas. So for those of you who don't know what carnitas are, it's pork deep fried in its own fat.
Mm.
And it's salty. Mm. So my uncle made that, and then my mom had all these carnitas left, and she decided to make chile colorado or red chili with it. And all she did is just added a red salsa, and then she proceeded to make the burrito. So the burrito is basically the flour tortilla with just enough refried pinto beans.
Uh-huh.
To have the meat stuck to it. Because I started making one and my mom was mad. She's like, quítate, quítate. You don't know how to make it. Because I was putting a lot of beans. Because, you know,
Chipotle taught you wrong, girl.
I almost put fries on it, but I was like, no.
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 French fries?
No, pendeja. Rice.
Oh, they said fries.
No.
I was like, what the fuck?
That would have been great, but no.
Oh, my God.
And my mom pushed me out of the way. She said, I'll make the one for Justin. And she got mad at me. She's like, you're from Juarez and you don't know how to make burritos.
Pero en español te dijo.
Así dijo. Apenas se puede creer que eres de Juárez y no sabes hacer burritos.
Oh, but one thing I want to mention about these burritos is they're the correct size. Because yes. When I think of burritos, I think of this size. So the burritos maybe like what?
Like
8 inches long? The perfect size. Look at your face, bitch. Yeah, but it's not... But the thing is it's not like a 3-pound fucking burrito.
No.
It's like...
That's your California thing.
If you're like really if you're really hungry, you know, you could probably pack like 2 or 3, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they're easily. Not giant burritos. So think of like a regular size flour tortilla rolled up instead of these. When you go to places...
And they're thin.
When you go to those new, not just Chipotle, because there's so many other ones now.
Mm-hmm.
The tortilla is like the fucking size of a person. Like when they're wrapping that burrito up, they're huge.
I've seen it. But the first time I ate a burrito in California,
yeah,
I was petrified. It had everything. Everything on it, and I couldn't understand it, so I just opened it and I ate it with a fork because I wasn't eating a burrito.
Yeah.
But do you know the story of burritos?
Tell me.
Okay,
what is it?
Well, I don't know. Like, there's different theories, but in the beginning of the 20th century, when you had the migrants going from Juarez to El Paso to work, well, in the middle of the 19th century, I'm not gonna say the beginning, this is how they will carry their stuff. And there was a guy selling in his backpack,
they would carry their stuff on a donkey.
No, pendeja.
Burro.
No. There was a guy selling them and he will carry this packaged food.
Espérate, güey.
they were carrying these packaged foods. He will carry them with him, like a burrito, like a donkey. So people,
oh
yes,
they were calling him burro.
Correct. The person that was selling them. I mean, it's one out of many theories. I learned that after I watched one of the episodes of The Life of Juan Gabriel, which we will talk about it later. Because he sells burritos for a living.
Juan Gabriel.
Oh, girl. You have to watch that.
I wonder how many inches his burritos are.
He grew up in Juarez. So it's just the right size. No seas mal pensada.
I always thought it was burrito because, like, you know, like when you take your burro wherever, like you wrap everything up and you put it in the...
Well, that's what this guy was doing, but...
But not an actual burro.
No, no. Oh. Those are your Chicano fantasies coming.
Yeah, I know. And then he got tired and the guy slept on a cactus in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, speaking of fantasies, man, we just watched...
We're going right for it.
Yeah, let's get into it. A very interesting episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You say that, but I know you watch the show.
Girl.
I know you watch the show.
I gave them the benefit of the doubt for years.
Okay.
Up until this episode that we're going to talk about. It's just, I can't.
I will admit, whenever, I don't like saying this because then it's like I'm one of these people like, I don't have a TV. But there is a TV.
You are one of those people.
I know. but I don't pride myself on that. Like, okay. I wish I had time to watch TV. I have time to watch TV on my computer, you know what I mean? And then there's a TV in my house, but usually my roommates are watching stuff. So, like, whatever. I don't feel like watching Gilmore Girls or wrestling, so that's not going to happen. But...
Gilmore Girls. Interesting, Crystal.
No. Outing her. No, but when... don't even get me started. So, I can't talk shit, though, because... Even though I am. Because if ever I'm house-sitting for somebody and they have TV, like, that's the first thing I will just, like, go to E or go to Bravo and watch all that trash.
Yes.
Just to see what everybody's talking about. And I sometimes get into Kardashian trance and watch that shit.
It is like a trance, isn't it?
Especially with the latest update.
Season?
I don't know if it's the latest season, but how Blak Chyna moved in with Rob Kardashian.
Oh, I haven't seen none of those episodes.
You don't know about that?
I mean, I know the whole drama, but I haven't seen any of the episodes.
Oh, my God.
Es un escándalo.
Es un escándalo. Es un escándalo. Okay. So, so in the recent season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, they went to Cuba. There's two episodes kind of dedicated to their trip to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Because initially, one of the model sister, Kendall... She was going to go do a show over there. So then they all planned a show. They all planned to go to the show. And then they, Khloe, Kourtney, and Kim, and their families, right?
Mm-hmm.
All going. And it was a very interesting episode. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on it?
No, keep going.
Why?
I want to know more about China because I forgot the whole thing.
Oh, you want to know the Blak Chyna thing?
Yes.
Oh, there's a whole essay, and I'm going to recommend it at the end of the show.
Okay.
Because it's amazing. But Blak Chyna started dating Rob Kardashian, and she's pregnant now, and so she's going to have a Kardashian baby. So, like, she's a Kardashian now. Wow. And she kind of not fought her way, but, you know, manipulated her way into it. And there's a whole backstory because she's a stripper and she dated this dude and that it's a lot.
Okay.
There's a lot of little. I don't know all of it, but
didn't she dated the little girl's boyfriend, Young Thug? Is that his name? No, I have no idea.
Don't say any names, girl. You don't know nothing.
Nothing.
Who the fuck is she dating? Tyga.
Tyga.
Yeah, Tyga.
Well, Young Thug is better anyway.
Dios mío. Oh my God, that girl looks like a fucking Muppet. ¿Cómo se llama? Like the one that always has her lip. Kylie?
I don't know.
Oh my God. Those so little... scary.
Yeah. And
okay.
Her face doesn't move.
I know.
And she's not even 20. Isn't she? She's like, I don't know.
Okay. So let's talk about... Oh, and Blak Chyna and Rob are going to get their own TV show soon. It starts soon. Did you see the commercial? I saw the commercials for it.
I am so watching that.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Really?
Well, the thing is that I it's not in my mind, and then I turn on the TV, and then that's all I can think about during like a week and then I'm over it. But the thing is that I put TV while I'm working. This is how I get into my trashy TV. Because while I'm cooking. Do you see what I said?
Working.
Yes. So that's how I got into the Big Bang Theory. I know. Whatever. And that's how I got into Friends again. And that's how I watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Just like 2-3 hours in the background. And ugh. But anyway, so I saw this episode and I texted Justin. I said, we have to watch this because it's bound to be bad. And I stopped cooking and I was just like, okay. And there's so many problems. What drives me crazy is that they don't see it. They don't have somebody talking to them and be like, you know what? We should edit this part out, or like, you should think about this because it's just not, it's very offensive, but apparently not. They just go on with life, not even thinking about those things.
So Cuba has had a very interesting history in relation to the United States.
So in 1776, Spain, who had control over Cuba, for the first time, opened its doors to of the Americas. The thing is that in order for you to come to Mexico, in order for you to come to the colonies, you had to ask permission from the crown. Mm-hmm. And it was like this long process. And finally, by 1776, the Cuban ports were open. So that's when you had the first trading with around 1762 with the British occupation of Havana.
Okay.
And then you have for example, trading with also North America started to happen around this time. And then the ports finally opened in 1776, and that's really how the history of everything started. Jump to the 19th century with the War of Independence with the War of Independence of the Cubans against Spain. The U.S. intervened as well. They said, well, we have to protect, because, you know, there was a big commerce when it comes to sugar, to the cane sugar, the plantation.
Sugar trade?
Yeah. So
right, that was like their main economic resource.
Yeah,
right?
Because when you had the Haitian Revolution, then everything shifted. Not everything, but a lot of it shifted to Cuba, and that's how Cuba came into prominence in the 19th century. And this is where the United States is like, okay, we're taking advantage of that. And then you have the Cuban independence movement, and the United States basically intervened because they wanted to protect their own business or whatever.
Right.
So some people see one of the most important U.S. interventions in Cuba over there as, oh, they're helping us with the independence. But other people said, well, they interrupted our war of independence. And from that, you have so many different examples throughout the 20th century where the U.S. started to, you know, meter la pata in the island of Cuba. And again, you can also fast forward to the 1930s, for example, with the rise of General Fulgencio Batista, where there's Fulgencio Batista basically established a better trading system, if you want to call it like that, or better relationships with the United States, and that opens the ports to like a new era in Cuba of tourism. So you have all these great hotels that you see in the show, the Kardashians, and you have all these tourists starting to take advantage of, you know, like the paradise that Cuba represented in the 20th century. And then finally you have the Cuban Revolution, and then the relationships with the United States started to fracture a little bit. And finally you have the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, where the Soviet Union decided to help Cuba against the United States, they basically placed nuclear warheads on the island, and that basically started a period where the relationships between the United States and Cuba have been fractured, and it's been a long process. And finally, a year ago or 2 years ago? No, a year ago, Obama decided to open the ports again, open the relationships with Cuba, and now people from the United States can go freely to Cuba, kind of like if it was the 1930s. So you see this resurgence of Cuba as the Vegas, because that's basically what Fulgencio wanted to do, of Batista, what he wanted to do, this Vegas, this Caribbean Vegas, it's happening again in Cuba, but now you see it in TV, you see it developing in reality television, and it's very, very interesting. So it's almost like history has been, like, after almost a century, history, it's repeating itself.
So what was the relationship between the United States and Cuba, for me, like as a tourist, mm-hmm. as an American before this, could I go to Cuba?
Before this, no, I think...
You had to be a Cuban citizen?
I don't know if he had... There was like a special permit or... Uh-huh. I mean, it was practically impossible. I remember my dad in the 90s, because we had a friend from Cuba, Miguelito, que en paz descanse, and he used to take a lot of stuff to their families.
Uh-huh.
And toys, clothes, medicine, you name it. So he basically paid my dad to go to Cuba, but my dad had to go through Mexico. So he went through Cancun and then went to Cuba. Yeah, and that's how he got to go to Cuba.
Yeah, because I have relatives that have been to Cuba, and I didn't understand how they actually got there.
Did they got through Mexico?
Yes. That's or through Guatemala or whatever. But and that makes a lot of sense, because a lot of performers, like musicians, they travel the world, but they're not allowed to come to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And
it depends also on the relationships that Cuba established with the rest of the world. Mexico and Cuba have always had a good relationships. So you had a lot of these performers and whatnot that were able to arrive to Cuba. I remember also there was a group of performers that performed a couple of times in Juarez as part of like this cabaret show, also in the 90s. And a lot of them deserted and they stayed in Juarez. I think some of them might still lived in Juarez. So this happened a lot of times with performers, athletes, doctors, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of people, they see themselves as belonging as part of a longer history of Cuban history. So they if they have the opportunity to travel to other parts of the world, they still come back to Cuba.
Yeah.
Which is it's a very contentious topic, and I mean, we're not experts over here. We just wanted to talk about, more than anything, the sort of cliches that the Kardashians repeat about, not even just about Cuba, but about Latin America.
Yeah. That's something that was really funny watching the show, is they were really worried about going to Cuba because there was no internet there. So as soon as they got on the plane, that was it. They were going to be able to talk to their mom for 3 days or something.
Chloe said something like, there's only internet in one hotel.
Hotel Nacional, like, right?
Really? That's where they stay. Like, really? No mames.
No, I mean, there's Wi-Fi hotspots. Yes, it's not like here. It is very difficult.
Yeah, it is very difficult.
It's very difficult. People have to spend their whole day in line, basically, to enter emails in some places.
Yeah.
So, yes.
But there's also, like...
But it's not...
There's telephones. Like, they're not going to Syria, man. Like, they're going to another Latin American country.
Oh, my gosh. So, that was funny. And, yeah, they kept... So... They take a private jet there, right? The Kardashian mm-hmm. jet.
Of course.
And they... So here's... I just took a few notes that made me laugh.
Go ahead.
So Chloe was very excited because she's so excited to see the 50s style of Cuba,
yes.
right?
Uh-huh.
Of Havana, because they're going to Havana, right? And I wrote drag makeup because the Kardashians makeup... Whoever is doing their makeup.
It's on point, man.
Oh, my God. Those noses are so sculpted and contoured. They're works of art. It's amazing.
What was the name of that drag queen you were telling me that really started to develop that, like, sculpting?
Jackie Beat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jackie Beat was one of them. And now it's like Raven is like the one. She has a huge nose, but it looks like a tiny little nose when you get the makeup right. And it's all with makeup. It's not...
Contouring. That's
the
word.
Oh my God.
And you know, that's interesting because it's almost like the dream of an authentic place. That's what they wanted to see.
Yeah.
So when they said that about the 50s Cuba, which... Ugh,
which is... Which, to me, I think about, why are those buildings still from the 50s, right? Mm-hmm. And why are they... Why do they look like they're falling apart or vintage or whatever? I heard some statistics. On average, it usually... A Cuban makes like 20 American dollars a month, mm-hmm. right? And for somebody to... Like, for example, fix a toilet mm-hmm. or whatever. That's a quarter of your whole month's pay. Mm-hmm. Or for somebody to paint a house. Like, are you going to paint your house or are you going to eat? Are you mm-hmm. going to feed your family kind of mm-hmm. thing? So, like, oh, wow. Like, they're stuck in the 50s. But really, they're surviving and they're making do with what they have.
What the state provides.
And like, what the state so provides. Ration, yeah. And they went to Havana and they went to where the tourists want you to go. They didn't go to the camps where they keep mm-hmm. everybody whose house... I can't believe I can't... I don't remember the word of when a thing fall... Not implodes, because that's like a... I can't remember. A proposito, no. Anyway. Oh,
it's, yeah, they stay on like La Vieja.
Yeah.
La Vieja Havana. And oh, it looks like an amazing place. I remember I was watching and it's just like, oh, it's all this beautiful neoclassic 19th century 1950s also
collapse on building. Themselves. Oh, oh my god, why couldn't I think of this word? This fucking burrito got me twisted.
Which goes to say that the island is full of rich architectural history. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, once again, the only purpose for that in the show was to provide the Kardashians with the dream of the authentic, which is something that people that go to Latin America, they idealize that. They're seeking that fantasy. We talked about it in terms of the Frida show. Frida is a vehicle for the authentic or ideas of the authentic about Mexico.
Yeah.
And Cuba, I mean, there's other things, but people seek that. The idea of the 50s, the cars. Oh, I've heard that so much about wanting to see those classic cars and... I don't know, man. I just wish that for once they would have shown a little bit more of you know, another side of the island, you know?
I mean, they tried. So they got to Cuba. They were picked up from the airport by these classic 50s convertibles.
Of course.
Right? So Kanye mm-hmm. and Kim, they showed up later, but they were like in a pink car the whole time, and Chloe and her friend were... In the other car, were in like a red car mm-hmm. with her driver Armando, who's her favorite Cuban. Yes. And according to her friend, what really cracked me up at the beginning is they just kept saying, "Wow, everybody's so nice here.
It's real life.
It's real." Oh my god, the goats are like people's dogs here. Like,
yeah. Oh my god, remember that? That's crazy. So look at all these goats. It's just
And I'm looking at what they're seeing, and I'm like, this looks like any other Latin American country. Like, yeah.
It looks like a Latin American
country. They never been to Mexico before. They never been to South America anywhere. Like,
and they have, but it's almost like they travel in bubbles and they're not able to get out of that. And that bubble is not, like, Cuba doesn't offer that yet. I'm sure that's going to happen soon, but yet they don't offer that bubble. So it's almost like they were reborn or something. And they save real life several times. This is real life, man. And this is real life, this, and the goats and the chickens and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it was disgusting. I hated it so much. Oh, and also, what's the name of the one with the kid? Courtney,
yeah.
We almost didn't come to Cuba because there are no car seats or seatbelts. Really? Like, in the whole fucking island, you couldn't find a seatbelt? Like,
they could have checked one. They could have checked. If it was that important, they could have checked. I've seen it at the airport all the time. You check it as a bag, a car seat. Like, it's fine. Like, if you're really worried about your son's safety, you would have brought a fucking car seat.
But people are so in real life here. People are,
like, so chill here that they...
They drive so...
They don't crash their cars. They don't crash their cars because... Hijos de la chingada.
Neta, güey. Neta, neta, neta. It just... It drove me nuts the whole time I was watching that. And then they were praising the food. And then at one point, Chloe's like, yes, basically, we're just going to eat chicken and rice and potatoes the whole entire time. I was like, oh, make up your mind. You like it or you didn't like it. It was just, I don't know.
According to Courtney, though, Cuba has the best sangria in the world.
Did you see that picture that they posted on Instagram?
No.
Where she's, oh, this is where everything, like, comes together, right?
What?
Okay. So, in the 1990s, there was a very famous movie that made it into the Academy Awards. It was actually nominated a Cuban movie. It's called Strawberries and Chocolate, A Strawberry and Chocolate, or Fresa y Chocolate. Uh-huh. I think it came out in 1994. That was the release date. It's a beautiful story about this gay guy, and he befriends this guy, and this guy is basically homophobic. And throughout the course of the movie, you see the transformation of attitude, and also they talk about freedom of expression in Cuba at the time. There's a lot of topics that they talk to, but this is where it gets good. The building where they lived was actually became later a restaurant. And that is the same movie where in the staircase where Chloe takes that picture where it says Fidel in the background.
Uh-huh.
That where she takes a picture that everybody started complaining about. And this is how this happened. So the filmmakers find the perfect idealized Baroque setting. Then after that, there was a resurgence of tourists from the U.S. that they wanted to see that fantasy, right? What mm-hmm. became Fresa y Chocolate, that movie. And when they went to see that building, song, like a praise for Fidel Castro. That's why you have the name and there's a whole poem.
Yeah.
So into a restaurant to open it to the tourists so they can leave basically that fantasy Kardashians. And then Chloe posts that picture in Instagram with her by the staircase and Fidel... A lot of people are like, how insensitive are you? Especially people that feel like the regime of Fidel Castro completely fucked them up. As a lot of people that have deserted to they have migrated to different parts of the world, especially Florida, for example. And there was like this big uproar about that specific picture. But I think it's interesting because it becomes like a circle between this fantastic ideas about Latin America, which we also talked about it when it comes to Brazil. And then you have this movie, which became that vehicle for people to live those fantasies. And now you have, once again, you have media coming into the island or tourists coming into the island now through most notably the Kardashians. But I think Madonna had a birthday, mm-hmm. no?
Yeah, she just had a birthday, yeah.
And one of the first ones I saw was Coco. Why do I always forget his name? Connor. I know my accent, everybody.
And no, you called him Connor.
No, I said Conan.
Oh, okay.
But I did that. But that was the first show I saw of somebody coming with Thick Dream.
Yeah, and it's like all the same tour guides were on the Kardashian show, right? Like the star people are just the same. Like, okay, you got another celebrity? They've been regarded as the first family of the United States. That is a lot, right?
Yeah.
That's so loaded. Then they do, right? So it's funny what some white people will do. It's going to be very... Okay, Obama went there, Conan went there. That's a different audience, right? Now that the Kardashians are there, it really opens it up to the world.
Yes.
Because the people that watch... There's people that watch the Kardashian show and hate watch it. Kind of like... I hate watch it myself, but it's because I hate myself, not because I hate them. So it's kind of like a different kind of hate watch. But there's so many people that are like loyal fans of that show. Like I know that I have cousins that buy... Mm-hmm. Their shit, like whenever they're selling anything, like their the makeup, all that dry ass looking lip makeup, and like anything, any app, like they're on it. So this is gonna attract what worries me is this is going to attract tourists that aren't respectful of what's going on, right? And I just fear that and then the people that live there are not going to be treated.
Revolution, that yeah. they themselves fight in the revolution, that truly believe in the ideals of the revolution, and that is completely being disrespected and disregarded. Once again, this is there's people that have lived their entire lives, people that feel completely the opposite and have left the island, and that also must be respected. Contentious aside, when you have somebody with complete disregard to the history, no historical background whatsoever, you destroy that. You destroyed both sides of the argument, and all you are left with, it's a dream. Kanye West also at one point said, oh, this feels like a dream. Like, no, like, people in Cuba have not suffered for centuries, you know, for you to be living your fucking dream. Like, that's just wrong. And again, the fact that there was no historical nothing on the show. One of the main points of going to Cuba, I know, is going to the plaza where there's all this I don't want to call it communist propaganda, but there's a reflection of the history of Cuba there. They never once stopped there.
They didn't.
If there were any points where they will tell you the relationship between Cuba and the Soviet Union or anything that deals with the C word, communism, for them, they erased it. And all they show, again, was this paradise that, again, that was a dream that Kanye was living, and it was the real life that Chloe and Kourtney were seeking for. At the end of the day, you mentioned, who was the smartest one in that show?
The little girl, North.
No, it was, Kourtney's kid. What's his name?
Oh my God, I don't know that little kid's name.
Anyway, and
he's so cute.
At one point, it's like, what is the meaning of that lion?
Oh, my God, I do remember that part.
So Chloe and Kourtney is like, what does that goat mean on the street? And why are people doing this? And then the kid is like, what is the meaning of the lion in the middle of the paseo, blah, blah, blah. It was so funny. But speaking of disrespect, I don't know if you heard on the news, and this just happened. This just happened today. Lochne and all those U.S. swimmers.
Yeah.
Supposedly they were robbed gunpoint in Brazil. And now it comes out that they were making all kinds of a mess. And they were drunk and doing all kinds of shit in a gas station. So they changed, because they were being disrespectful, just like you're mentioning. They changed completely the tune to show that Brazil is this barbarian, horrible place.
Which they're the ones caught on closed circuit TV, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like kicking a door in at a gas station and trying to beat somebody up or whatever.
Yeah.
And then did you just see the statement that they made? The official statement that was made by some... Basically, it was, boys will be boys. These kids, they kept calling them kids. These kids are just out there having fun.
Again, like, it's not fucking Vegas. Like, when you come here, people expect you to do that. That's part of our economy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, not that it's right. But you're going to another country, to another culture, respect it. And you're right. The Kardashians is a symbol to that, for people to live those expectativas, you know? Like, those wild expectativas that is just horrendous.
What's interesting to me is the whole Kanye West situation. It's not a situation, but how Kanye West is now a Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's in those episodes and has the same amount of screen time as some of them. You know what I mean? And for somebody to go, this is what's amazing to me. Remember after Katrina happened and they were doing all the PSAs on MTV and Kanye West went on there with Mike Myers.
That's the day I fell in love with him.
Okay. And he said, what was he saying? He's like,
George W. Bush hates black people. That's what he said.
He just said it. And why are we ignoring Katrina? Because George W. Bush hates black people, mm-hmm. right? And to then... Over, I don't know how many years, now he is part of the Kardashian family, right? And they claim they're Armenian roots, but when it boils down to it, they're white women. Mm-hmm. Right? So now, either it's fucking brilliant and he's just fucking with everybody, mm-hmm. or he's gone crazy. You know what I mean? So either he's infiltrated the first family of television, right? And is in there. Mm-hmm. Because all of those women in that family are fascinated with black culture to a point where it's disgusting. They like fetishize black people and steal or appropriate their looks.
All the right? time.
They're always dressed. I've seen them do chola looks. Okay, whatever. Everybody's doing it. But then when they take like cornrows, for example, and then they're like, look at our new hairdos.
And it becomes a fashion.
They're boxer braids. Like, no, bitch, they are not. So, I don't know. For Kanye West to be a part of that family is, to me, very interesting. Yes, problematic. But the reason why I say that is because I feel like, as a black man, Kanye West, as a black artist, you can see him taking it in when he's in Cuba. Because I remember seeing the episode where the Kardashians go to Armenia, mm-hmm. and Kanye West is like, they go into this big temple and they baptize North, and Kanye West can't stop smiling because he's looking at the outfits that the priests or the monks are wearing, mm-hmm. and you can tell in the back of his head he's thinking, this is going to be for my next fashion line. So while he was in Cuba, he's not hiding it anymore. He talks about it. They walk into buildings or whatever, and he's like, oh yeah, this has some Yeezy vibes to it. Mm-hmm. So like, get ready. Like, there's going to be a Cuban inspired, you know, Kanye West fashion show or this or that. And because of that, it's going to give the Kardashians permission, you know, to kind of appropriate that culture as their own also. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it kind of filters through, you know, like popular culture, black culture, and then the Kardashians take it and then it's theirs. Right? Just like their clothes, just like their hairstyles, just like their makeup, just like their booties, because those bodies are not theirs. Those bodies are also appropriated. I mean, at one point they were, but they have been enhanced.
And that's another thing that, the thing with Kanye is just, it's so, that fashion show that he did, I think he worked along, I don't know if just for the fashion line, but for the runway show, he worked closely with famous artist Vanessa Beecroft. And Vanessa Beecroft, for example, she has stated that she feels like she's black, like she's a black man, and just completely adopting those ideas. Because, you know, it's easy to say that
Wasn't she just upset because they did a DNA test on her and she has no black ancestors?
Correct. She wants to appropriate.
And she's like, I swear I have African ancestry. Why do I feel so close to black people if I don't have any?
And he worked together with Kanye, and like, you see this fashion thing. It's just, it's almost like the political refugee aesthetic that they both of them put together. So when you talk about that episode of the Kardashians, I can totally see it where he's just, all these ideas that he put together with this lady, which I have an article that talks about, compares Vanessa Beecroft, Paul Gauguin, because also Paul Gauguin goes into the islands and lives the tropical fantasy, even though he raped everybody over there. And also, what's the name? Abramovic. Who also
Marina Abramovic, she's going to release a book, right? Yeah. Publish a book. And part of it was about the Aborigines in Australia. And
yeah, he compared them to dinosaurs. Hijo de su chingada. Dios mío. But see, this is just...
How can it get any worse?
The title of the
piece... To dinosaurs?
Exactly. An extinct creature? It's so horrible.
These people don't know what's coming out of their mouths.
It's the
a dinosaur?
Exactly. It's so... it's horrible. But it's just the white gaze. that feels that they can appropriate, quote unquote, I don't like to use this word, what they feel is their other. So they can exploit it to their own benefits, like a fashion show. Like, and this goes for people of every color. It's just how do you exercise your privilege onto other parts of the world? And that's what the Kardashians are doing, what Kanye is doing, what Vanessa Beecroft, what Abramovic and the swimmers in the Rio Olympics, and the list goes on and on. I remember I just reposted that article about Vanessa Beecroft and Abramovic, and I just typed same old, because nothing has changed. Once again, we can go back to the 16th century, the first Europeans arriving here, is the same attitudes, is the same idea, is the same practice of privilege, which is basically another form of colonization, you know? Mm-hmm. So looking at the Kardashian show, I know some people are like, oh, give him the benefit of the doubt, this and that. We see those patterns being repeated, you know, and it's just, I don't have patience for that anymore.
I was also looking on the sunny side, because I was like, okay, some of the things they're saying is offensive. Like, mm-hmm. there's also the whole goat thing, and people are so nice, and there's no internet when there's people with smartphones everywhere.
Taking pictures of them with their phones.
I mean, obviously, they don't have internet on their phones, but, you know, they can still... Anyway, they made it seem like everybody was still, you know, like using slate tablets and shit there to communicate and sending pigeons to each other. But another cool thing about Kanye being part of the family now is, like, I don't think the Kardashians would have went to an art museum, you know, if mm-hmm. it wasn't for Kanye. They mm-hmm. also went to El Museo del Ron, like the rum museum.
Mm-hmm. But that's part of the...
That's part of the tour, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because the lady who gives him the tour of the Museo del Ron is the lady who gave the tour to Conan O'Brien.
Mm.
Yeah, and she is not a muse. If you notice, she was not a muse. And with Conan O'Brien, Conan can make all these jokes, and she's like, nope.
No, mijo.
No.
But... the second episode is the one that got me, because I was like, okay, I kind of see what's going on here. Mm-hmm. But the second episode was like, half of it was in Cuba and half of it they had come back, right? Porque the mom was like really bored at home, so she was bothering the one that looks like a Muppet, and the Muppet girl was like doing a photo shoot. So there was really nothing going on. And then Courtney's husband or ex-husband, are they still together?
I don't care.
I don't know. The orange dude, right? what's his name? Scott. Mm-hmm. So Scott is like, hey, I miss everybody. Why aren't we in Cuba? Well, let's bring Cuba to us, right? And then that reinforced all of the stereotypes about what Americans...
in their own home.
In their own home, right?
That's called privilege, ladies and gentlemen.
So they ordered all this Cuban food, and he brings it to the house. And then he orders one of his best friends or whatever, comes with like an old 1950s restored car. And then they start talking like Tony Montana, like, hey, oh, cool. I don't even want to do it, okay?
Smoking cigars. Dancing with the Stars people in the fucking backyard.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Human props. Oh my God.
Yes.
They even had like people dancing salsa in the backyard. Mm-hmm. They're like, now we have Cuba here in our backyard.
Yeah.
And we don't have to go anywhere.
Oh, but... You were starting to talk about the art scene, and I have a couple, but go ahead.
I don't know. There's nothing more dangerous than a bored white man. So it's just like, thank God he did that instead of something else. But,
Speaking of art, it's very interesting when they arrive to the gallery, because they make it seem like very DIY, yes, sort of scene, where there's an aspect to that on about Cuban art. But the reality is that Cuban art has been in the map of the art world, or the mainstream art world, for a long time.
Yeah.
The Havana Biennial has been one of the most important biennials, if not the most important biennial in all the entire continent, besides Sao Paulo's in Brazil. And people that there's smaller biennials. For example, my friend Gustavo, who curated the biennial in Honduras, the people that won that biennial automatically enter the biennial of the Habana, and some of those people automatically enter the one at Venice. So in terms of the mainstream art world, Cuba is an important stop, right? Which also prompted the question. I wanted to hear more from actual Cuban artists about the meaning of this, because there's a long history. We just had a show here in UNLV, and we had, for example, Sandra Ceballos, who has the only non-state run space in Cuba, and that she's been running since the 1990s. I mean, it's an incredible space that she's been working with local artists for a long, long time. So I learned first about Sandra Ceballos through Angel Delgado. Angel Delgado used to live here. He just moved to Long Beach. And Angel Delgado is it's a performance and plastic artist who knows very well the struggles of freedom of expression, for example, in Cuba.
Yeah.
And I asked him to give us his opinion, and he just wrote a couple of lines.
Okay.
And I want to read. He sent me the text in Spanish.
Okay.
So why don't I read it, and you can...
I'll try to translate it.
Correct.
Okay.
And then we can talk about it. So he says, okay, so ¿por dónde empezar? Bueno, pienso que como promoción para la isla, específicamente para el turismo, en su fenómeno que está funcionando.
As far as tourism for the island, I think it's a phenomenon that, how did it end?
That is working.
That's working. Okay. Está trabajando, yeah.
Económicamente, espero que a la larga se vean los resultados. Hasta el momento, que yo sepa, son pocas las inversiones extranjeras.
Just keep going, I'll paraphrase it at the end.
Pero el asunto está en que lo poco o lo mucho que nos ha ayudado esta promoción no ha favorecido mucho al cubano.
So, yeah, it's gonna bring some stimulation to the economy, but for the people actually living there, for the Cubans, it hasn't affected them in a positive way.
So it hasn't affected Cuba, sino solo al gobierno, a los gobiernos.
Only,
es decir,
yeah,
to the government.
Only the government.
Uh-huh. No se notan esos cambios en la población.
You don't see those changes in the population.
And that is an interesting point where we cannot even offer our opinion, right? Because
right.
We can see the way that... that people in the States are starting to arrive to Cuba, how are they fantasizing it, but what's really happening with people and how our attitudes changing or how their lives changing, it's something that we have no voice. We cannot do that. You know, it's something that would hopefully, now that the trade is open, we're going to start to hear more voices actually from the island about the situation.
Yeah.
But anyway, he continues. El cubano... de pie sigue pasando las mismas necesidades, o más que antes, de que Cuba estuviera abierto al mundo.
The Cuban person still has the same struggles as they have before.
Incluso hay muchas más represiones políticas después de esta promoción, como consecuencia del llamado deshielo entre Cuba y Estados
There's
Unidos.
There's been more political repercussions because of
Repression,
it?
Yeah.
Why? Because of what?
Because of this promotion of,
oh, okay.
of the island, of the so-called deshielo. Deshielo means like, yeah. Unfreeze something.
Unfrozen.
The, uh-huh. Relationships between Cuba and the United
Does
States.
Does he say why?
He said, he says, in relation with the artists, con relación a los artistas, no creo que estos sean afectados. Creo que todo lo contrario, toda esta promoción ha provocado una avalancha de curadores.
Oh, so this has actually been positive for the art world because there's now there could be more curators to spread the art.
And my question is now, is this going to create, this is an unfair question, but is this going to create better art or just... a wave of artists that adapt to the market?
Or even worse, is this going to homogenize the artwork in Cuba?
Correct.
Because, no shade, but shade. When I go to Mexico City and I see some of the art there, I'm like, this could be made in Germany. This
Correct.
Could be made in the U.S.
Yeah, there's nothing what's, different about it.
That's what's happening to a lot of art, I feel, is it just like there's a certain person, certain amount of people with power that know what they like and then what they want to see, and everybody's just responding to that.
Correct. And it's the same old aesthetics. Yep. It's the same old ideas and themes and topics, and nothing changes. That's a really good point. I feel like maybe that's what's going to happen to Cuba.
I'm so afraid for Cuba because look at Las Vegas, okay? If we're comparing it to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. When Las Vegas was first built in the 1950s and 60s, right? Mm-hmm. It was a cowboy town, and then it turned into this fantasy land, right? This mm-hmm. exoticized version of whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the 60s, right? Starting in the 40s even, like the flamingo, right? The Tropicana. You had these like exotic, almost island-like themes for resorts. Mm-hmm. Then you had your desert themed casinos, like the dunes, the sands, the Sahara, the desert and all that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, before that it was all cowboy shit. But now you go to the strip, right? At least then the casinos had a theme, right? Caesar's Palace, the Aladdin, right? Now you go to the strip and it looks like a fucking airport.
Yeah, it looks like Florida. It looks like LA.
It looks like Florida. It looks like LA. It looks like New York. Right? Like everything's looking the same. Like I did a little bit of traveling over last year. Mm-hmm. Thankfully I was able to do that. And thanks to a generous grant from my tia Yesenia. Hey tia, thank you. I love you. But when I was in Europe, I was like, oh, like Ireland, like I know this architecture, this airport architecture is part of Las Vegas.
That's crazy.
It's all every fucking airport, every it looks exactly the same, right? So mm-hmm. that's what I fear is going to happen in Cuba. It's going to happen, right?
And that's going to happen with a lot of things. And this is why the tourists want to go there before that happens. They want to live that dream that they're not able to live at home. So it's going to, I feel like it's going to happen with the art. I mean, again, it's good as Angel Delgado says, yeah. Galeristas, coleccionistas, all these people that are looking to buy Cuban art, but it's nothing new. The world has been buying Cuban art for decades and decades now. It's just that I think the aesthetics are going to be homogenized and you're just going to have a piece of art that you don't know if somebody, as you said, in Berlin made it, or in South America, or Mexico City, or New York.
Yeah.
But he concludes. A la larga, todos esperamos que esta ola de promoción ayude y promocione verdaderos beneficios.
In the long run, we hope that this promotion will... Sorry, I have a bad memory.
I don't even remember what you just said. It will have good benefits.
It'll have a good benefit for the nation, yeah.
Pero por el momento, en mi opinión... Cuba se abrió al mundo.
And in my opinion, right now, Cuba has opened itself up to the world.
Y en este caso, a Estados Unidos.
In this case, the United States.
Pero no se abrió dentro de sí misma.
But it hasn't opened within itself.
Oh, shit! Two snaps in a... Okay, and he concludes, and in my opinion, this is the problem.
And in my opinion, this is the problem. Read that last part one more time, all together.
Okay. Sí. Pero por el momento, en mi opinión, a la larga, todos esperamos que esta ola de promoción ayude y promocione verdaderos beneficios. Pero por el momento, en mi opinión, Cuba se abrió al mundo, y en este caso a US o Estados Unidos, pero no se abrió dentro de sí misma. Y en mi opinión, ahí está el problema.
¡Oh!
Punto y por separado. Y
yeah,
separado.
María Celeste. So, este fue primer impacto.
Thank you, Angel, because really this really is a very interesting topic. It's something that we get to see, that we're gonna see the change. We hope that not a lot changes, but I think in terms of the art world, when it comes to Cuba, it already started changing a while ago. It's mm-hmm. just that this is the la gota que derramó el vaso, como dicen in Mexico. And Mexico. But I don't know, it will be interesting development. But for now, all the celebrities, you know, all the celebrities are a visual signifier of the impending doom. At least I feel how it is, right?
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to see happening in very own eyes, but it's also very sad. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, you know, that's how I am, a very nostalgic person. So like I can relate to those comments that the Kardashians were making, right? Like, mm-hmm. oh, look at the buildings. Oh, nothing's changed. Like, that's
awesome.
I love that so much. Like, I love, like, that's why I like to go back to Mexico. like to shout out to Carreras Durango right by Tepehuanes. But that I love going to those old towns, and like I saw pictures of it today actually, and they have somebody did like a YouTube tour of the whole pueblo, and like I was like, oh, how sad they put streets in. Yeah. Before it was dirt roads. Yeah. Oh, Carreras isn't the same anymore. Right? So that's kind of the same. I was like, oh, yeah, but now people can travel through their town easier.
Yeah, it's life.
And you're not thinking about that. So that's kind of how I'm looking at this Cuban situation is, yes, it's going to suck because probably a lot of history is going to go missing. People are going to disrespect a lot of what's been happening there and the history. But at the same time, there are thousands of people, right, that are hungry, that need to eat, right? And this influx in their economy, in the tourism, can if they're given the opportunity, right, they can make a lot of money, right? So Americans are known to be good tippers, right? Like I said, the average wage is like $20 a month. If you hire a tour guide, you're probably gonna tip them $20 to $100 for showing you around the whole day. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that helps not only their family but probably there's so many generations like living in one house in a lot of these places. And I'm not saying this to like also romanticize Cuba that everybody's, but it's true. Like this is what's happening there.
Yeah, and so,
this could actually make people's lives better there.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. Like,
yeah, there's benefits.
There's both sides.
Yeah, there's both sides to it. And one thing to remember about Cuba is because I think in the United States you thought that there's all this extreme repression from the government on Cuba, and there's different sides of the coin, and I invite you to, instead of creating your opinion, to really talk to people from there, to really do your research and your investigation, because the reality is that there is people from different walks of life, people, different races, and
And this is my opinion as an American, and I'm so American because to me America is the center of the universe. So like even when I'm talking about Cuba, I'm equating their pay to dollars, right? So I'm already thinking about it in the wrong way, but just to kind of get my point across, you know?
Correct.
What I mean?
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, I find it fascinating. Going back to that show that we were talking about last time, The Blacks in Latin America.
Oh, I watched that. That was a great show.
It was a good show. Yeah. It homogenizes the whole island into this dynamic of black and white, when the reality is that there's a longer and more complicated history. It's called Black in Latin America. It's a series by PBS. It's Henry Gates Lewis or Henry Louis Gates.
Yes.
And but one of the things that really catches your attention is that Fidel Castro, when the revolution triumphed, because you can be referred to that, or when they won, he declared a country with no racism. But the reality is that when you have the Soviet Union falls and all those billions of money that are going into Cuba, all that aid leaves, now classes are being measured according to the money that is coming from other countries. So if you're a privileged white person that has family in Florida, your status is going to be different than somebody that doesn't have family in other parts of the world.
Absolutely.
So it's about status. I mean, it's just like other parts of the world. This is why it bugs me, like when the Kardashians is like, oh, it's like real life. Bitch, you just have to drive a couple of miles to different parts of LA so you can see the same fucking situations.
Oh, yeah, you want to see real life?
I mean, not the same situations, but you know what I mean, right? And that's the thing, that's the reality with Cuba, that there it's very complicated. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things happening, and I don't know, we're just going to have to see because we have no control over what's going to happen. But I am very interested about the art world, what's going to happen to it, because I'm sure it's already happening. I'm sure it's already being homogenized, as you mentioned.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm excited that I got to learn more about Cuba just from watching this show, the Kardashian show. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute.
Let me do my own research. Yeah.
So that's been cool. And now I understand why Celia Cruz says, azúcar.
What is that?
Because of that's what Cuba was famous for back in the day, for the sugar.
That's how.
So I mean, that's what I feel like. She's tying it back. Who knows why she really says it?
Yeah.
But I really want to do some research on Celia Cruz because I've always loved Celia Cruz since I was a kid.
That's too shown her.
Because of her color. Because she reminds me of my Guatemalan grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So like, whenever I saw Celia Cruz on TV as a kid, I always figured it was my grandma. Like, oh, that's like my grandma on TV. So shout out to my grandma who made me breakfast today. I went over there. Almorzar a la casa de mi abuela.
We survived with our family's food.
I know. I haven't had to buy a meal in forever. All right. Do, 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 do.
Ding, ding.
That's our ad music. Perfect. So, you know, I love listening. What was that sound?
I don't know. It's me not trying to laugh.
I love listening to The Read. And the other day, during their Black Excellence segment, they had this girl, 11-year-old girl. Her name is Marley Diaz. And she's starting this new movement because she's sick of seeing children's books with white boys and their dogs, right? So hashtag 1,000 black girls in books, right? So it's awesome just to be aware of that, because I never thought of that when I was a kid. Like, hey, there's no brown or black people in these books that we're reading.
Yeah, and you know, representation is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's this new company that you're telling about. It's called Culture Chest, right?
Yes, it's...
Yeah.
And do you know, for example, Fabi, that most characters in children's books tend to be white?
No way, Babalito.
Yes, they are. A fact study showed that only 7% of children's books in 2012, for example, had non-white protagonists. Mm-hmm. Culture Chest wants to make it easier for families to connect with diverse children's books through their subscription service, which is awesome. Every month, they will deliver 2 to 3 books for children ages 3 to 8. And all of our listeners, guess what? Will receive a 15% off the first box when you enter the code
Latinos Who Lunch.
With capitals, all capitals.
Latinos Who Lunch. Yes, that's so awesome.
Great connection right there with what's happening in the whole country, which is awesome.
That's awesome. So go to culturechest.com.
And don't forget, the code is Latinos Who Lunch.
Yay! Boom. Yeah. Calmate. What it do? What's up? We're back. And it's time for recommendations. My favorite part of the show, because we get to give our shout outs. Go ahead, Pablito. It's
okay.
You.
We're going to switch a little bit because normally Fabi Fav is the one who gives the recommendations. Mm-hmm. He gives his faves. But on podcasts, so I'm going to do the same this week because I listened to this podcast, which is part of this magazine, which is based on Brooklyn. The name of the magazine is Top Rank. And they have the Top Rank, the podcast.
Top Rank Magazine?
Top Rank Magazine. And the website is toprankmagazine.com.
I'm so happy you turned me on to them because I have been listening to their podcast on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
It's so good. I think we're going to lose some listeners after this recommendation.
Good, because they're amazing.
But that's good. I mean, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
And they put together their podcast with such care. That's probably why it takes them like a month or something like that to put the podcast. But the Selena episode was absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Todo. Absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And after that, I'm hooked. So, yes, Top Rank Magazine podcast is my recommendation for this week.
That's
which one
so
is yours?
Awesome.
Fabi.
Well, you know what's funny is like, we started this podcast because we said there's no representation of like two brown people talking. I mean, there was Latino USA, Ad Latino, but like,
we couldn't find anything else.
Just like two people of color or two queers or of color, like brown, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about whatever, you know. And now it's so awesome doing this podcast because now we're finding about all these podcasts that like started within the last year also.
Yeah.
So it's like we're all thinking the same, and it's great because people especially you, are like, did you hear these people? And I'm like, yeah, don't. They're not competition. This is awesome.
I am keeping track.
I know, but it's so great to hear so many voices out there, especially voices like us. What? Your damn dog's barking?
Yes.
You better control those fucking bugs. That's what happens when you get these fucking deformed dogs.
Son los vecinos, güey.
Ay, Dios mío.
En fin, go ahead.
Anyways, my recommendation, as I said, I think at the beginning of the show, was this BuzzFeed article that I just keep going back to because, you know, the Kardashians are a trip. And I just, you know, there's a lot of think pieces done. But this one by BuzzFeed staff writer Sylvia Obel is so great. It's How Blac Chyna Beat the Kardashians at Their Own Game.
Yes, I read that.
It's so cool.
It's really good.
So, I mean, I talked about it for a few minutes, but read the article. It's so great. And we'll put the link in the on the website.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you gotta give us... Yes, go ahead.
Gotta give you what?
Nothing, go ahead.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and we apologize for this podcast being late, but, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how to record these damn things. So this is like our eighth try. Yeah, but we're really excited. So if you like the podcast, please go on to iTunes and rate us. Subscribe, of course, and rate on iTunes. That's a big deal. So give us 5 stars and write something nice on there. We might even read it on our next episode, which is a listener letter episode.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be so fun. I'm We've got some really great questions and comments. And yeah, so iTunes, check us out there. And also, you can listen to us on latinoswholunch.com. Follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. Remember to use that hashtag support brown podcasts
and Latinos Who Podcast.
And Latinos Who Podcast. We are so excited to be able to keep doing this podcast. And eventually, I think we're going to have t-shirts and stickers and stuff on the website so everybody can contribute so I can pay my credit card off. Yes, so I'm Favi Fav.
I'm Babelito.
It was great. Bye.
Adios.